Our present conference will be on the morality of human acts. The morality of human acts. That will be part one. Then part two of this evening's conference will be applying what we'll see on the morality of human actions to merit, supernatural merit, in the light of the morality of human actions. The language may sound technical. I hope what I have to share with you will be useful. We begin by distinguishing between what are called acts of man and human acts. By acts of man, we understand the physical or spontaneous actions of a human being that are independent of the free will. Thus, the metabolism of the body, the circulation of the blood, instinctive impulses of feeling or emotion are technically called acts of man. Human acts or human actions, on the contrary, are those actions which are freely chosen as a result of a previous judgment of the conscience. We call those moral actions. And if for many people, they have to revise their vocabulary, because what makes an action moral is whether it is performed with a free will, and that moral action can be either good or bad. Synonyms for moral action are human action or voluntary action. In other words, what we do with our free will is called a moral action. Everything else is called either an act of man or a physical action. Then, by way of introduction, now we ask some questions based on and derived from the Catholic Catechism. First question, what are the basic sources of morality? What makes a morally performed action either good or bad? And this goes back, I should add, to the beginning of Catholic theology. There are three basic sources of morality. They are first, the object chosen. That is, what I do. The end or intention for which I choose to do something. That's the why. And the third factor are the circumstances of the moral action I perform. In other words, the how. What then makes any action moral? It is moral if I use my free will. If I don't use my free will, my action is not even a moral action. Of course, I can perform a morally good or a morally bad action. And what determines whether the action I perform is morally good or morally bad? These three factors that we've just identified. What I do, why I do it, and how. Now we go back to each of these three. When is the object, or that which I do, when is that good? The object of an action, or the what, is good if it conforms to the true good. And what is the true good? That which leads to our heavenly destiny. So what I do is good if it conforms to the true good. And what is the true good? Whatever leads me to my heavenly destiny. What God wants is what I need. If what God wants, I want, my action is, then, a good action, as we say, objectively good. I believed God wanted me to have a conference this evening. Though I thought of myself, and for a moment I asked the Lord, do you think the sisters will appreciate all this sophisticated language? I heard no voice, but I thought I heard yes. If nothing else, they'll practice patience. Then I also asked, should I have a conference tomorrow? And I thought it would be a morally good action. We'd have another conference tomorrow. Mass, remember? 7 o'clock? Have you heard yet? Once more, what makes what I do good? What I do is good if it conforms to what God wants me to do so I can reach my destiny. Next question. When is the intention of a human action good? The intention is also good when the reason I choose to do something is because God wants it. Notice, it is good if God wants it. My intention is good is if I want it because God wants it. My intention is good, therefore, when it is inspired by the desire to please God. And how do we please God? That's simple. We please God when we do what He wants. Where's the mystery? How do we please anyone? Very simple. When we do what they want. I should add, by the way, I was not this simple in teaching theology 40 years ago. Oh, the big polysyllabic, sesquipedalian words I would use. I'm embarrassed when I read some of the homilies I used to give. In general, then, my intention is good when it agrees with the purpose of my existence, which is to serve God and save my soul. You go on. Can a good intention justify a bad action? No. The end, or purpose, or intention does not justify a bad action. Thus, we may not lie, or slander, or calumniate in order to help someone in need. And then, the opposite. A bad intention does not justify an otherwise good act. The first sentence should have read, the end or intention does not justify a bad means. And the next sentence should read, that we may not lie or calumniate in order to help someone in need. And the third sentence should read, conversely, a bad intention does not justify an otherwise good action. For example, it is wrong to give alms simply to impress others with my generosity. What I do is good, but I'm not performing a good action if my motive or intention is bad. And let me tell you, this, in my judgment, should be for most of us, beginning with me, one of the main focuses of our examination of conscience. It's remarkable what good actions, as actions we can perform, but the motive, nothing elevated about that. I've got to do it. If I don't do it, I'll be in trouble. Next question. How are the circumstances, or the how, secondary to the morality of our human actions? The word secondary is crucial. What is primary is what I do and why I do it. However, the circumstances also affect the morality of what I do. Their circumstances do increase or diminish the moral goodness or the moral badness of what is done with our free will. I repeat, the essence of morality is in the what and the why. But what affects how good and how bad what I do is, that is, conditioned by or affected by the situation, the circumstances in which I do whatever I freely choose to do. Thus, in general, the more difficult a morally good action is, the more pleasing it is before God. Also, the more emotional pressure to do something wrong, the less responsible or culpable a person is for doing what he shouldn't have done. Say my prayers when I'm dead tired. The essence of praying is that I'm speaking to God and I'm somehow aware of whom I'm in conversation with. However, I repeat, being dead tired, or as I found out over the years, I travel, come back 11 o'clock at night. I want to spend some more time in prayer. I'm in no shape to pray, say, kneeling helps, but is no guarantee. Sitting is disastrous. I've got to walk. And providentially, in 1981, I had 4-way bypass heart surgery. So, for the last 12 years, I am to walk 3 miles a day. It helps. I get a lot of praying in while walking. In any case, the circumstances affect not whether an action is good or bad, but how good and how bad what I do is in the eyes of God. When is a human action morally good? This is bread and butter in moral theology. A human action is morally good when the object, what I do, the intention, why I do it, and the circumstances, how, are all good. Last question before we get into merit. If the object of my choice, that which I do, is morally bad, can anything make that choice morally good? The answer is no. No matter what motives I may have, the highest, most spiritual motives in the world. And no matter what the circumstances may be, if my action is objectively wrong, if what I do is morally bad, then I commit sin. The heart, therefore, of the moral order is in what we do. And that is why we said before, it is of transcendent importance to know what God tells us and through His church is pleasing to Him and what is displeasing. Why then does it not matter what my motive is or what the circumstances in which I do it? Because, and this is the very heart of our faith, what we do must, of course, be according to the will of God. But what God wants is not capricious on his part. It is the mind of God that knows that certain human actions are good and certain other human actions are bad. And there's no more important statement in Scripture, I mean it, than we were told by the Apostle, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. People can have the most noblest intentions, wonderful, generous, peace-loving, prayerful people. Thanks. The heart of morality is, what do they do? In other words, the morality of our behavior depends on whether what we do agrees with both the mind and will of God. To illustrate, that is why contraception or fornication or perjury or adultery is always morally wrong. And when in 1968, Pope Paul VI issued Humanae Vitae, 1993, as you know, was the 25th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. Most of the bishops of the whole Catholic world met in their respective countries and sat in judgment on Pope Paul VI's encyclical Humanae Vitae. And many, many bishops and many countries, including the United States, pages and pages, a very pious language. But the bottom line was, they said, it depends on the person's conscience, on the circumstances. Each couple determines for themselves whether or not they should practice contraception. There's the main reason why the Catholic Church has had the most devastating revolution, as I keep saying, in our history, especially in our century, and specifically in the last quarter century. Having said that, now we are ready to go to another subject, merit and human actions.